I'd like to welcome everyone to the Florence Weinberg Show. Frank McKay here, once again, speaking to someone from San Antonio. And again, she is our host each and every week, and she's also an eyewitness of what's going on, what's become a national, international, and intergalactic news story. Everyone is talking about San Antonio and, you know, Texas in general with what happened, and certainly was an act of God, but certainly a lot to go on, and the blame game is happening. But let me first introduce our host each and every week, the author of 15 books, soon to be the subject of a documentary. We'll be letting you know real soon where to watch that. Florence Weinberg. Doc, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Thanks to a few foresightful friends who had generators of their own. Some of us have survived with our pets, and I'm one of them. So I'm one of the lucky ones.
Yeah, fortunate, and it's good to have some good friends. And I also, the politicians now get to speak. And, you know, I know it's Republican-run Texas there. How do they get out of blaming themselves?
Oh, that's very simple. The Republicans, thanks to a clever gerrymandering, have been in the ascendancy here. They've been in power for 2 decades. So ever since Ann Richards was governor here in Texas, we've had this Republican regime, and they are blaming everybody but themselves for the breakdown of the power system here in Texas. First of all, Texas has a totally independent power system from the rest of the country. The grid here is unique because of the Texas. Texas is so proud of being an independent republic in a short time in the 19th century, shortly after the Battle of the Alamo. And therefore, everything is bigger and better and independent in Texas. Texas has to be all by itself, and so it refused to join in with the national grid. Therefore, the governor of Texas is fully responsible for the breakdown in the electrical and power systems of this state. And immediately, when asked, I think this was Hannity he was talking to on Fox News, he said, well, it's the fault of the Green New Deal.
Wow.
Now, everybody should know that the Green New Deal has not been passed. It is not in effect, but there are wind power, windmills in Texas, as there are in many other states, and also some solar panels that are giving renewable energy to this grid. But Governor Abbott blamed the fact that the windmills, some of them, froze during this cold snap, and therefore that was what caused the outage, when actually only something like 8 to 10% of our overall power comes from windmills. Therefore, you can't blame 8% or 10% failure, which really was less than that, for the overall breakdown.
Joseph Goebbels had a line, a very memorable line. He was the minister of propaganda for Adolf Hitler. And what he said is, if you tell a lie a million times, it becomes the truth. I'm paraphrasing, but I guess that's what they're working on, right? If you could blame the Green New Deal, then why not, in their minds?
Well, you know, if people believe that Antifa is responsible for January 6th, and there are millions of people who also believe that Trump won the election, who believe that it was Antifa who attacked the Capitol. And if they can believe that, they can of course believe that windmills caused the breakdown. I
Wow.
People live in an alternate universe.
You know, Sam Houston had a great line about Texas, and I hope you can hear me okay, but he had a, it was somewhere around the Civil War when Texas wanted to become its own country, and he said that, and again, Sam Houston had some great lines, but one of his best lines were, Texas is too small to be its own country and too large to be an insane asylum. And I always thought that was a very, very nice line by Sam Houston. Who is to blame? Who do you blame for what happened?
Okay, the actual situation is, first of all, because our power comes from a collection of private companies, thanks to the Republican belief that big government is evil and must be avoided, and therefore there's no effective overall authority. There's this thing called ERCOT, which is of course an anagram for Energy Reliability Council of Texas. And that is what has called the shots here in Texas and told the various private companies that they should shut down, have rolling blackouts, as they called it, which rolled for several days at a time instead of only hours, in order to save the system. And the system, of course, was deregulated because we don't want anything. I mean, the feds told Texas to winterize, and because Texas doesn't believe anything the federal government tells them, they didn't do it. It was also better for their finances, their bottom line, if they didn't bother, and they didn't. And they should have, because we had another cold snap which caused blackouts in Texas 10 years ago in 2011, and that was when the feds said, Texas, you better winterize. And Texas said, cold snap like that only happens every 100 years. Then it comes along in 10, and probably will continue coming along at frequent intervals. So the governor could have decreed that things be winterized, but he ignored the federal regulators, and that's what happened.
Wow.
That's whom to blame, too.
I guess
the heat here in Texas with electricity and gas, and it was the gas wellheads and pipes that froze, and that is our main source of heating energy for the winter here in Texas. So it didn't have anything to do with windmills. But blaming the wind, not only does it dodge responsibility for botched deregulation, but it pleases the fossil fuel industry, which is very big in Texas.
Yes.
And it blames the liberals for the climate problems and for the breakdown of the heating, the electrical and heating system in Texas. So blaming wind power does all those good things for the Republican regime.
Amazing. Just absolutely amazing that they could try to get away with that. Also, I'm quoting history here again, but Harry Truman, I don't know what happened to the buck stops here, and the governor of Texas could easily say, hey, we take responsibility for this. We'll, you know, I think people would respect it if he did that. Yes, no?
Yes, absolutely. The buck should stop with our governor, since he is assuming the absolute top rank here, since Texas thinks of itself as still being a republic all by itself. I mean, Texas threatens to secede from the Union every so often. But right now, the legislature is meeting. It came into session yesterday, and they are, of course, discussing whom to blame and whether whether these companies can bill their customers or not. And so that's the big problem right now. And Paul Krugman wrote an article that we got published yesterday in our paper, in which he said that he did not think that the legislature would come to any proper conclusion there. He figured that the bill, incidentally, what happened was that since the gas production fell so drastically because the pipes and the well heads were freezing up, the cost of 1 megawatt watt hour of gas went up to $9,000 each.
Wow.
$9,000 per megawatt hour of gas. Consequently, the poor customers were being billed, as I think I said, a minimum of $10,000 for the week, or the bills went up as far as $16,000 and $17,000. And people have been trying to pay that, and they can't, because most people don't have that much money in the bank. So the legislature may just forget about that, since they are dealing with oil men and other plutocrats here in Texas, and will figure that $17,000 is chicken feed. So why not pass it along to the customer?
Wow. Just wow. Has there been any polling on this? In other words, have the voters of Texas said anything like who they blame on this? I'm sure there's some kind of polling that's been done. Have you been aware of any?
Absolutely. Here in San Antonio and the other big cities in Texas are, on the whole, are Democratic. We have a very fine mayor who just made a statement that there would be hell to pay, quote unquote, if the cost of the of gas were passed on to the customers for something that was absolutely not their fault. And our local power company is called City Public Service, and it is our gas and electric company, CPS for short. And they met, I think Monday, so that was yesterday, realized that they were meeting and showed up for the meeting and made a big noise and said that we collectively would not pay that kind of highway robbery. And CPS is trying to figure out a way not to bill us, but rather to try and Texas has a rainy day fund, so-called, for disasters, and they haven't touched that. And this would be an exact a candidate for using part of the rainy day fund to help the customers out. So there's that, and of course they have already appealed to the federal government that they despise the moment, because it's Biden, not Trump, and asked the federal government for help. So there are those two possibilities for getting people out of trouble here in Texas. Certainly, our mayor is on our side, on the side of the citizens.
Have you received an energy bill or an electricity bill?
I will probably be receiving one any minute, but but it hasn't come in yet.
Yeah.
Apparently, they're not going to bill us this cycle, according to what the newspaper reported. about what the CEO of City Public Service said. So I guess we will get our regular budgeted amount. I'm on a budget so that I pay the same amount every month instead of going up and down with the market price. The people who are getting these horrendous bills are the ones who are paying market price instead of being on a budget. So anyway, CPS is not going to bill us this cycle, but maybe next.
Are we out of the woods as far as people being, does everybody have electricity at this point? Does everyone have water and fresh water and potable water?
The water is still a problem. The power, electricity and heat are back on now. I think most people, unless there was a severe breakdown, a transformer right next to their house or something electrical happening in the house that needs repair. I think most people have, across all of Texas, now have their power on. Now, with water, that's a different problem because the pipes froze. Our own city water system, known as SAWS, San Antonio Water System, broke down because the major pipes froze and broke, and people's private plumbing froze and split, lost their water house, or lost their water because they were downstream from one of the major pipe fractures. So a lot of people have water. The pressure isn't up to normal for a lot of people, and pollutants have gotten into the water. They're having to boil it. And I also had to boil my water for a couple of days, but we are now, in my particular area, are okay.
Doc, let me ask you this, if you don't mind, and let me remind folks that they're listening to Dr. Florence Weinberg on the Dr. Florence Weinberg Show, Frank McKay here, urging everyone to binge listen to everything that we've done together. And if you go to the Florence Weinberg Show, you'll hear everything we've done since the name change and the maiden voyage. And please listen to all of them. Doc, since you've been in Texas, have you had anything like this at all? Has there been a crisis like this or anything similar? You know, I know Hurricane Harvey was in Houston, and of course that was terrible. But other than, you know, an act of God like that, have you seen anything like this happen in Texas since you've been there?
That cold snap 10 years ago caused some rolling blackouts, and they really were rolling blackouts. They lasted maybe 2 hours or so. But they came, everything came back on, and the cold snap was not long enough to freeze plants that were protected. I've lost most of my, in fact, all, I think, of my plants outside. I have the small-leafed ivy that's growing up about halfway up my walls, my brick walls. So the house is beautifully decorated, or was, with this ivy, which I keep clipped. And I had potted plants, hibiscus and bougainvillea, on the patio, and amaryllis and spider plant and poinsettia, all of which are frozen, and I'm afraid the roots are frozen as well, because it was at least 48 hours of 8 to 11 degrees, so extended cold at that depth, and my plants were protected, but the protection just did no good. I had a heated precinct in which I had enclosed the plants, and so I had a little heater out there working, and as long as it was going, it was fine, but of course the electricity went out, and that was the end of the protection.
The other thought I had, without interrupting you, is when I think of Texas, and I think most people think of Texas, we think of oil, or we think of cattle, we think of beef, and whatever, anything else that comes from cattle, but not necessarily a crop off the top of our heads. I mean, I imagine cotton, right? Do you grow? Do they still grow cotton in Texas? Is there tobacco? Is what are the main crops in Texas, and how were they affected by what happened?
This I don't know yet. It's too early for there to be anything but cabbages and cauliflower and that kind of thing in the fields. And I suspect, I really don't think that, I imagine anything that had the head on it, like cabbage and cauliflower and broccoli, would be destroyed. But the roots of the plants would not, because the earth did not have time to freeze down into the earth. For example, my grass on my lawns, front and back, is still alive. The back lawn is much better off than the front, oddly, although it's on the north side. It's still green. The front has turned brown, but it isn't turned gray and ashy looking, so I'm pretty sure it's okay. It'll come right back. And I expect any crops that are in the ground, let's say they were just sown, let's say wheat fields that were just sown and so on, I think they'll be all right. Because the earth maintains quite a bit of heat. I think if you dig deep enough, in the mine, for instance, mines, the mean temperature is around 52 degrees Fahrenheit. And I think that's the earth itself maintains throughout a temperature like that. It gets warmer as the sun is on it, of course.
Let me ask you about your junior senator, Ted Cruz. And again, last week, he blamed his children, right? He blamed his children for him being away. What's the latest with Ted Cruz?
I haven't lately. There has been nothing about him. There was a big flurry, of course, right after he was discovered to have taken his family and gone to Cancun. And, of course, he came right back once he realized what a faux pas that was. And then, of course, in typical politician fashion, he cast around to find someone to blame. And of all things, he could have lied and said he was going to a conference or something on that, the business-like excuse. But no, he blamed his children, his own children. Said, well, they wanted to go, so I went.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Everybody was laughing at that. And I think his reputation went down even with Republicans quite a few notches.
Yeah, well, what is he saying now? Is he being aggressive? I mean, he's normally aggressive, and he would be the one attacking the Green New Deal. Or did they basically say,
no,
maybe stay out of this?
I haven't heard a word out of him.
Smart.
Yeah, not since that first flurry of publicity about his trip. He's been as quiet as a mouse, as far as I know.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Well, let me ask you, in general, your city, I have a lot of faith in your mayor. I think he's terrific, and I think you're in good hands when there's a crisis, and he seems always to be on top of things. And he also seems to be very accountable. He holds himself accountable. He holds the city accountable. And I have a lot of faith in him. Do you have any faith whatsoever that the government of Texas are going to make arrangements or make adjustments to what has happened here, and that you won't have this in the future? Because as you know, and I know, climate change is real, and it is bound to happen again. Do you have any faith that they're going to make adjustments?
Well, I'm hoping that that this second blow after 2011 and the feds and even ERCOT saying that we should winterize, and winterization did not take place. It would have cost some money, and just going along the way we were unprotected was better for the bottom line. I think after the second lesson, who knows what the legislature is going to do. They're meeting right now, and as I said, Paul Krugman doesn't think they'll do anything. They'll just just throw it off and say status quo. but I think that there's been so much outcry, and the blame game, of course, is very much against them. So I think they, looking to their own reelection, they might actually do something.
Yeah, it's listen, it's important. And the one thing that's gonna not going to happen, they're not going to push it back too far before they make adjustments, because they don't want to be that close to Election Day and this still be an issue. They want to get this behind them. If, you know, faux pas were made, fine, let's move on to other issues. That's the political way, Doc, is get it out of the way. We don't want to talk about this in September, October, before an Election Day.
That's right. Yeah, but it's not a matter of principle. It's a matter of expediency, no matter what.
Right.
So it will be thinking of their election rather than thinking of the welfare of the people. There's no question in my mind.
Well, let me ask you, what's next? What should be the priority? Obviously, these electric bills are ridiculous. I mean, if people are trying to pay $17,000 electric bills, they're going to go bankrupt. You know, they're going to be crushed. I imagine that's a top priority. But what else is there in your mind? If you had a magic wand and you could fix Texas right now, what would be your concentration?
Well, I would second the recommendation of ERCOT and the feds and say winterize. That's a top priority, because this could happen next winter, for that matter. And if we're not prepared, we'll go through the same thing again. Yeah. So the expense for winterization needs to be done right after paying the bill to ERCOT, having the state, I would use the rainy day fund to pay the electrical bills for people, rather than the federal government, which is already putting out several trillion dollars to bring the country out of a depression. And so that's it. Use state funds to right the wrongs that have been done in the past that have nothing to do with private consumers, and winterize so that it doesn't happen again. That's step one and step two. And the third step might be to link Texas to the rest of the country so that we have backup power when our own power grid goes out.
Yeah. Stop acting like your own country, and start being part of a team.
Like, yes, exactly, Frank. Acting like Texas is part of the rest of the country, which it is.
Yeah.
It is part of the rest of the country when it suits it. And if it's, otherwise, it is an independent entity, the Lone Star State.
Wow. You never think of those. In terms of that, you know, the Lone Star State, they are a standalone state for sure. And in some ways, look, it's something to be proud of, independence. But you are part of a larger group. I just have a feeling that that many of the folks that have voted for former President Trump They're not ready to join the union at this point, and they don't want to join this union led by President Biden. Something tells me we're going to be a long way before people start accepting President Biden. And, you know, they're going to try to blame him and, you know, for everything that's going on. By the way, a much different feel in the country under President Biden than President Trump. We don't hear about the president every day. You have to pay close attention because he's not controversial. And I know that President Trump called President, well, before it was Vice President Biden, called him Sleepy Joe. And a lot of people said, hey, I'm ready for Sleepy Joe. I'm ready not to be on the front pages every day looking at my president saying something embarrassing. But so far, I think so good with President Biden and Vice President Harris. I mean, nothing that I could even point to and say, oh, well, I'm embarrassed about that. I don't think anybody could say anything that they've been embarrassed by. And, you know, and they have detractors. And obviously there's 71 million people who voted for Trump. And, you know, they're not going to be happy that that he's there. But so far, so good with Biden.
Yes, I think President Biden and Vice President Harris have so far done an impeccable job. Of course, having the political position I do, I naturally think that. By the way, the latest news is that former President Trump is coming out in public. He is going to rally his 74 million voters,
oh, right, 74,
as a new army to destroy President Biden's presidency.
Wow.
I'm not sure how he's going to do that, but of course he is setting himself up immediately as the candidate for president in 2024, and as the resurrected savior, because he has posed his people have depicted him as a Christ figure, forgetting that the Bible says that many evil ones pretending to be the Christ will come.
Wow.
But they forget to doubt or to suspect that maybe he is not the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they believe in his saviorhood, and that all of the QAnon conspiracy theories are true. The people who rescued me are among the Trumpists who believe that that Trump won the election. And much of what the people who attacked the Capitol on January 6th believe, they also believe. And during the time I was with them, which was wonderful, they were generous and kind, and my goodness, they couldn't have done more for me. We did not discuss politics at all.
That's a good practice.
They had Fox News and Newsmax on constantly. So they're getting everything they know comes from Fox News and Newsmax. And this is what you quoted early on in this hour, that Goebbels said, I think you said it was Goebbels, right?
Goebbels, yes.
If you repeat something 1,000 times, people are going to believe it. And we Americans now understand how Germany could have gone for what Hitler was trying to make them believe, because they heard it over and over and over again. Just as the believers in Trump have heard the same thing from Fox News over and over and over.
Amazing. So, well, you mentioned Newsmax. Newsmax is much more extreme than Fox News, I think.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it touts itself. It brags. Excuse me. It brags that it is so much better than Fox News, because Fox News is moderated its stance now and then, and they aren't going to do that.
Yeah, well, which is frightening. But again, yeah, Newsmax has taken on its own own identity, and they are getting bigger and bigger, and interesting. Yeah, you're going to see. You know, if not for Newsmax, Trump would probably be starting his own network. I wouldn't rule it out completely, but Newsmax, I think, is doing everything that Trump wanted to do himself. So he might think, why bother?
Yeah.
Well, listen, Doc, keep yourself safe. We love the updates from San Antonio. You're an eyewitness account of everything going on, and we just hope that Texas can find its way politically. And you know, I don't mean that to say they should go this way or that way, but stop blaming each other and just take care of the people and make sure they're not passing on these exorbitant prices of energy to the public. That's terrible, and that should never be the case. But Doc, thrilled that you're saved, and that you're safe and sound, and that your kitties there are safe and sound too. That's a big thought. And hopefully, when this is all said and done, we could look back and laugh and say everything's fine and everything worked out well. If things, to me, I think there's light at the end of the tunnel. I just got my vaccine, and I know others are lining up to get it every day. And I think we have light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, I do hope so. And my major hope is to get my first vaccine. Texas has also been way behind in vaccination because the vaccines just haven't come in, especially not to San Antonio. So I think the nursing home people have gotten it. The first responders have gotten it. But the other people over 65 have not. And I'm one of those, obviously. So I'm still waiting and hope that soon everything will be okay and we will be getting the vaccines in. I know a bunch of it has been shipped. So I hope it gets here.
Yeah, no, you and I both, and from, as they say, I hate to get cliche on you, but from your mouth to God's ears, and we will get through it one way or the other. Doc, thank you very much. And to everyone out there, thank you very much for tuning in each and every week. And please binge listen to everything that we've been doing here. You've been listening to the Florence Weinberg Show, and binge listen to everything we did on Breaking It Down together that led to this show. And real soon, we'll be telling you where to see the documentary. The author of 15 books and our host each and every week, Dr. Florence Byam Weinberg, has once again been filling us in on the goings-on in Texas. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you next time on the Florence Weinberg Show.